Yeah, welcome to the first ever play-in game day in Sacramento. Kyle Draper, Kevin Whitey Gleason, just outside the Golden Home Center at the Tahoe Blue Ridge. Drapes, what do you think? I know you've been running around here getting your popcorn, getting set. Can you just sense that the anticipation? It's like not a lot of people here yet, but we're getting ready for the top to blow off this thing today.
You know what, Whitey? It's interesting because I came down here and I see some fans, I see some jerseys out there, and I'm like, all right, it's a nice game. But then you get into the arena.
Yeah.
You see the T-shirts on the chairs. You see the signage that says media, dining, and workstation over here. And it's not the usual meeting.
It's
the playoff setup.
Yeah.
And so it's taking it to another level. I'm starting to get goosebumps and chills and everything. And it's like, you know, it's a big game when the opposing team, their coach usually is in the small little press room. No, they took over the whole media room and there's like 100 chairs set up. And so it may not be the playoffs, but it feels like the playoffs today.
Certainly does. Get a chance. If you get a chance, come on by, say hi. And to make it easy for people who maybe only hear us on the radio, I have my media badge on. So someone said, which one of them is Whitey?
Which one's Whitey? Well, yeah. You got identification.
Yeah. So right? Speaking of which one is Whitey, you mentioned the T-shirts, Feel the Roar T-shirts. So the Kings are wearing the white uniforms tonight, white T-shirts. Yeah. I think we got a whiteout going tonight inside.
Hey, Nate, I don't know what you're doing over there. You checking Instagram over there, big fella? Hey, can you pass me the whiteout T-shirt right behind you?
Yeah,
can you
reach that? I'm grinding. Yeah,
okay. He's over here sending tweets and everything and checking his email, bro. I want to show the people at home, you know, the whiteout T-shirt right here if you're watching on YouTube right here.
Feel the roar.
And so it's going to be like that. Hey, throw it in. We got two of them right here, so I'm ready. We should put these on.
Actually. Yeah, that's a slogan that goes back a ways. That means something here in Sacramento.
Dude, I want to wear this shirt. Where'd you get yours from? Hmm? That's pretty snazzy.
Yeah,
where'd you get
that one? I got this on the internet months ago. Rochester Royals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Etsy or something like that? Or somebody make that? Or is that official?
I forget the name of the company. Really. Yeah. I had to pay for it, so I don't mind that I can't remember the name of the company. But we got a controversy here, first things first.
Already?
Yeah. Has nothing to do with the game. But, you know, Drapes, because he has like 7 full-time jobs.
Yes.
He doesn't always get here early, and it's fine because he's out showtime is on time and he does a great job. You know that. But we had, before he got here, an over-under on when he would get here. I put the over-under, and this was like 134. I said, all right, Nate, the over-under is 154. You take the over or the under. And Nate said, oh, he won't be here before 157.
Really, Nate? You didn't think I was going to be here? Is it like that, bro?
I mean, you ain't got no faith in your boy? You did give me that water, so I'm happy about
that.
But
here's the thing.
I'm grateful.
You were here early, like 140-something. But then you left, and you didn't come back until after the show started.
But who did I leave for? It wasn't for me. It was for Nate and his water.
Okay. I gotta get my popcorn. That's all I heard.
You're right about that. I left my popcorn inside. I can't start a show off without the popcorn.
But you were here very early for this special day, and it's interesting that you already got a sense of how things are going inside there, because that's really where, as you say, that's
good. Hold on here. Before we get to tonight's game, we're going to talk about this. I feel like I'm a rapper in the booth. You ever listen to rap music and they like turn the levels up or you're at a concert?
Yeah.
Nate, I need my levels turned up, baby. I need to hear him a little bit better. Thank you. All right. Now we can go.
How you feeling about this thing? The weird thing about this game is, you know, the Kings came here in 1986. Mm-hmm. Between 86 and 2022. Not only did the Kings and the Warriors never play in the postseason, they were never in the postseason in the same year.
Together, right?
Yeah, at the same time. And now this is the second year in a row we got, of course, the Kings and the Warriors, an elimination game.
It's unbelievable. Like, you know, the fact that, first of all, last year was the first year that both teams made the playoffs at the same time. But then you got the proximity. And now it seems like we can't get rid of these guys.
I know,
whether it's the playoffs, the preseason, the regular season. And so when you prepare for a game like this, we know all the participants. I know Draymond Green's antics.
There's your boy Jason Dumas.
Jason Dumas, the pride of Temple University, Philadelphia. Hey, at least he's wearing red. He's neutral. You know what I mean?
He's not neutral. He's coming from the Bay Area. He's not neutral.
Look at it. He's decked out right now. What do you got? Yeah. The Air Maxes on. Hey, why y'all looking like 96 Death Row Records walking up here like that, man? You got the red on in there. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing? You about to go in? You got time or not?
I haven't seen you in a long time.
You chilling? We're gonna have to get you on the air. Would you? Okay. What's up, fam? How you been? Philadelphia in the building. Yep.
How are you?
Yeah. Philadelphia guy too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all represent.
Yeah, fly Eagles fly, right?
Yeah.
So the luminaries are just arriving. You know, playing the Warriors for Kings fans, you can go a couple of ways. On the one hand, you know, it's like, oh, these guys again. But it's just meant to be, right? Because you can't be one of the top teams in the NBA if you're not the top team in freaking Fairfield, right?
Right,
I mean, you
right.
got to be the best team in the region before you can actually accomplish anything.
Are we there yet or no?
We'll see tonight,
We'll see tonight, right? Exactly. this is a chance to finally put that quote-unquote dynasty to bed, right?
Yeah.
In the Steph Curry reign, in the Draymond reign. Jason Dumas joining us, extraordinaire. You can see him on Cron Sports.
Yeah.
This guy does G League basketball as well with the Santa Cruz Warriors. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Good. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
With you guys.
Seeing you guys again, man.
Can I tell you a story about this guy?
Yeah,
I've done
do.
Some shows with him, radio shows. And then I didn't know that he was doing like summer league. So I'm, you know, we've done like 3 or 4 or 5 shows, whatever. Yeah. And we had a good time. We were like, we're just going to talk basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm watching summer league and it's like doing the interviews. Jason. So I text like, dude, you're on the TV.
He's like, yeah.
I never heard
That's back. His job.
I never heard
oh,
back.
Oh, you didn't text the band? No. This guy big timing you already. Oh, my God.
That's
it's
funny,
like that,
man.
Dude.
Nah, Wayne's my guy like that. Man. He was my favorite co-host over there at 95.7 The Game. We had a lot of good shows
we did.
Over there.
Yeah.
For sure.
What do you think tonight? How are the Warriors feeling about this?
So they're feeling like they don't want to be here. Like
really?
Yeah, you can tell there were, you know, towards the end of the season, especially as they were playing better, they were hoping that they could get out of this play-in situation. But really, down the stretch, most of the teams in front of them were also winning.
Yeah.
So they couldn't really get out of this situation. So they didn't make it a secret that they didn't expect to be here. They kind of view it as a disappointment that they're the 10th seed and they're in a play-in. But it is what it is. They're still going to come out and try to handle their business. Now, I think kind of the road to get into the playoffs, and even if they're lucky enough to get that 8th seed, I think they're lucky to get OKC if they
instead
get that
Denver,
for it, instead of Denver.
Yeah.
So I think the pathway is favorable for them. Sacramento just seems like they haven't been the same since Monk and Herter went down.
Yeah.
Even though Herter was struggling a little this year, they did well against the Warriors last year, especially Monk. He killed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with GP2 out, I think if Monk was playing, it would put a lot of pressure on the Warriors. And I think the Warriors are just playing a little better than Sacramento right now.
Okay.
So,
let me ask you this, though, because, you know, I remember the playoff series last year, and it felt like, and even at some of the early games this season, the Warriors were really confident going against Sac. Do you get the sense that they still feel superior to, you know, Sacramento and the Kings, and that they're still big brother and Sacramento's little brother?
Absolutely.
Really?
They feel that way. Without saying it full out. You know, you can just tell by the body language, by the little subliminal comments they make. They respect the Kings, don't get me wrong, but they do not want these guys to be the one who ends their season, just like they didn't want to last year.
Right.
And I remember after game 5, they got the win here in Sac, and they got a little cocky and let their guard down, and Sacramento came in and embarrassed them on their home floor game 6. And I remember after that game, Steph was like, "That's what happens when you play with your food."
Mm-hmm.
And they made it a point the next day or 2 days later. It was the 30th. It was April 30th of last year. They made a point to, you know, make a statement, and they did. And, you know, it's always big brother until you beat them. You know,
right.
It's just like, you know, it's just like maybe you're a dad and you have kids and you kick your kids' butt in basketball in the driveway all the time. But then one day, I guess it's like that summer you had a growth spurt. You play your dad one-on-one and it's just changing of the guard. And it's going to happen one day.
Right.
I'm just not sure if it'll be tonight. But there is still definitely that complex where they feel as though, like,
Nah, man, there's no way those guys are going to end our season.
Yeah, Kings got to do something about that. Yeah, right. Jason Dumas with us from Cron 4 in the Bay Area, Bay Area TV star. You were the first person I ever talked to when we were doing one of our shows who saw Kuminga play in the G League, Ignite Walnut Creek, right? Yeah, I remember talking to you about how special he was. What has been the key for him this year? He finally seems to have found himself as an NBA player.
Yeah, I remember when I first saw him, I went out there to check out Jalen Green, who's, you know, a great player himself over in Houston. And I just see some guy who I didn't know who he was before I got there, just running like a gazelle, jumping out the building. I remember asking their PR person, who is that? She was like, oh, he's going to be a lottery pick, too. And he's and he's finally coming into his own. I think it's confidence. I think the coaches kind of gave him more of a rope because, remember, it was this season, earlier this season, he went right to the Chronicle, SF Chronicle, on the record, and was like, I've lost trust in Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
He made no secret about it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the next game after that, he had like 30 points.
Mm.
And he's been playing well ever since. I think is you know, I don't know if this actually happened, but it seemed like him and Steve sat down Steve was and he was probably like, Steve, I know what you need from me and I'm all in, I'll do it. But I also need a little bit from you. I need a little grace. I need you to embolden me a little, give me a little confidence.
Right. Right.
And you know, it seems like they kind of got on the same page. Now he's still not a perfect player. Since the All-Star break, he's been some defensive breakdowns. He's solid on the ball, but off the ball, he kind of gets
been hurt a little bit too.
Yeah.
Right?
He's dealing with a tailbone right now and he's back and he'll play tonight. But you know, when he's going downhill and when he's in transition, he's at his best, and it's like you can't keep him out the paint when he gets a little steam.
Yeah,
and
he's a matchup problem for us.
Like, that's why I ask about him. I agree.
Very athletic, and you know, he seems to be doing everything that the staff asks him, and in turn, it seems like the staff has said, "Okay, you're holding up your end. We're going to take a step back and let you be yourself."
Right? We got to try. That's our boss right over there, Jose. We got to tell him, hey, we've lost trust in you.
We've lost trust in him.
See,
right? Then we go out there and get 30 the next night and everything like that. You know, you bring up Steve Kerr. How do you feel like he's managed this season? Because coming off the FIBA World Cup, you know, there's some questions about him, some people doubting him, the way he handled this team early in the season, very loyal to Klay Thompson. Ultimately, he did put him on the bench and bring him off the bench. How do you think Steve's handled this season and evolved this season too, I would say?
I think he's coached a solid season. Now, there's still things that Steve is just adamant, and maybe the hard-headed isn't the right word, but, you know, the in-game adjustments, he's had some, you know, mistakes, in my opinion, where it's like, you took the guy out with the hot hand when you shouldn't have and put in one of your vets.
Well, we saw that up here when Moses Moody was cooking that time, and then he took him out. Yeah.
That game they ended up losing, they blew it. That was for like the play. That was for the in-season tournament. Like that's a prime example. He still does that, but he is still a master at leading men and, you know, regulating and balancing personalities. He's great at that. And, you know, he still has the trust of Steph and Draymond. And ultimately, forget Draymond. He still has the trust of Steph. That's all that matters.
Right.
It's really all that matters. It's the same thing with Draymond. Like, Draymond can do this and that, and people be like, should he still be here? Should they let him go? As long as Steph says, I want to play with Draymond, he's going to be here. Like, we can debate until we're red in
the face.
It doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
It's Steph's show, and probably rightfully so.
Jason Dumas with us from Cron, Channel 4 in the Bay Area. We know that the Kings are shorthanded now, as you pointed out, but as currently constituted, what about the Kings you think is like top of Steve Kerr's whiteboard? What about the Kings concerns the Warriors the most tonight?
That's De'Aaron Fox, of course. You can't, you know, you got to make it hard on him. And, you know, it stinks that GP2 won't be playing, because throwing GP2 on him for 15, 20 minutes and just giving him that change of pace and being able to throw Wiggins and GP2 and a little Kuminga at him helps a lot more. Now you just have Kuminga and Wiggins, and, you know, they just can't let De'Aaron Fox go for 45 open shots, getting downhill. So if they don't let him beat them, I think they're good. But, I mean, he's good enough to have one of those performances and beat him by themselves. And but that's also why I think it really hurts the Kings that they don't have Monk, because Monk is that like secondary ball handler who can almost score at will. And you guys saw the series last year. He killed the Warriors.
Yeah. You see the disrespect for Domas there? He didn't even bring him up.
No, that's good. He just got to prove it. I mean, look what he didn't last series. He's you know, he didn't play well. He didn't have a great series against the Warriors. He didn't. And, you know, it's funny because the guy who kind of stifled him doesn't even play.
Right? Yeah,
Looney. So it'll be interesting to see how Trace plays him. Trace will start tonight, I'm sure. And we'll see within the first 5 minutes. But I wouldn't be surprised if Trace struggles. Steve looks down at the bench and calls in Looney. Because he said all year, Looney's lost his rotation spot, but we will need him at some point this year, and it could be tonight.
This series. Where's Klay Thompson at? Because there's so many narratives going on regarding him. I look at the numbers, 17 points per game. You know, he wasn't above 40 from three, but he had some flashes. Where do you think Klay is right now?
I think he's in a great spot. He's shooting a career low, I think, from three, which is still crazy because it's still like 38.5%. It's not like he's not shooting it well. But I think he's in a good spot because – beginning of the year, even up to midseason, he was struggling a bit. And I know it was a contentious topic moving him to the bench. It has been for like a year.
Yeah.
It finally happened. And I think Klay kind of just in his post-game pressers and his off-days pressers, he's just saying how he's just viewing it as how he's just grateful to be playing basketball after all he's been through with some of those traumatic lower leg injuries. And, you know, he's just grateful, and he's letting the game come to him more. And he's been on one of his heaters the last, like, 6-7 weeks. He's been playing really good basketball. So I think Klay's in a good spot, and they're going to need him if they're going to want to do anything. I mean, part of the reason they lost to the Lakers in that series was because Klay was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other way to say it. Klay and Jordan Poole were outplayed by Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell, and that was kind of that series.
Yeah, well, I think. What do you think, Drace? We should give one of these.
Give
to,
one.
He can wear as long as he promises to wear it whenever he does any of his stand-ups.
Go on air or something like that with this one.
I'll take a shirt. If it's free,
I'll take a free shirt. You know? Yeah. Oh man, I don't know if you guys are worthy of this down in the Bay Area. Y'all not worthy of this. I can't just give away free shirts. Not to you guys. No offense. You're our guys.
Yeah. By the way, I know you know Kings are glad they're home. But being on the road for the Warriors, they didn't play that well at home. It's not a huge deal for them being on the road tonight, is it?
Oh, no. Just a quick little bus ride up here. Yeah. And, this is the best this is the best that could have happened to them.
Really?
Like, in my opinion, other than it being home. Obviously, they'd rather be home.
Right.
But if they have to make a road trip, better doing this than having to go down to L.A. and deal with Anthony Davis, who always kills them, or flying across the country and going to New Orleans.
New Orleans.
So, I think this is this is the best route for them if they want to achieve what they want to achieve. It's going to be tough. Obviously, it's an uphill battle. But, you know,
the Kings, as you know, no 10 seed has ever.
Never. But yeah, Kings, never advanced, Kings are in the same boat, though. Kings, they have everything they want to achieve right in front of them.
Still there. Right.
Right in front of them.
Still there. Yeah.
So, and I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. So I think it's going to be a good game. I don't think it's going to be a blowout or anything. I just tend to lean on the team that is playing a little better currently, which I think the Warriors are, and the team that just has the pedigree, which we know the Warriors do.
As we know,
it
all ends at some point, though.
It's
nothing's forever.
Nothing.
And so hopefully tonight is the night.
That's exactly what I said. One day
it's going to end, right?
The son looks at his dad like, "Dad, you're not stronger than me.
You're not strong enough." Lastly, real quick here, is this Klay's last game, last season?
And by the way, it's funny because that conversation you were just having about the son and the dad, I had that conversation with Michael once about when Klay, when was Klay before we knew who Klay was? Like, and this was when he was before he's in college. Oh, I can still get him. No, but obviously, at some point,
Klay
the student became the master.
Yeah.
No, I don't think this is Klay's last season.
No,
I think they both want the same thing. Klay wants to stay. The Warriors want him there. So I think ultimately when both sides want the same thing, they'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. It might be a couple tricky weeks with some numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not a guarantee. I just think he'll end up staying. Not sourced, just a hunch.
Yeah, just a hunch. Yep.
But there's teams that will throw him some money. So there's teams that might put some pressure on Joe Lacob in that checkbook.
To open it up.
Orlando, Oklahoma City.
OKC, too. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So there's everybody's always in the market for a 38% to 40% three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, all right, Jason.
All right, Jason.
See you.
All right, yeah.
Thank
Whitey,
you for coming in.
Appreciate you, man. Bro, appreciate you too.
Kyle. Eagles till we die, baby. Yeah, fly, Eagles, fly. Go Birds. Man.
I was home in Philly this past weekend. Everybody knows I work in the Bay, and everybody's like, "We hate the Niners,
right?"
So it was funny, man.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate you, man.
All right, guys.
All right, yeah. Thanks for stopping by here. So that's just the first of many, I'm sure, many luminaries to come today.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You never know who's going to roll up here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great stuff.
Great stuff, except for the King slander and the Domas hatred, right?
He's playing to his fan base out there. You know, I'm not going to hate on him for that. You know, he's playing to his fan base. It's the only problem he's going to have is driving back down to San Francisco crying at the end of the night. You know what I mean? It's going to be one of those nights he don't want to hear no post-game show. He ain't going to want to talk to anybody. And so – our boys will be ready tonight. I'm ready, man.
How about what we talked about yesterday? House money? Do the Kings, to a degree, are they playing with house money tonight? Because so many people are looking at it going, yeah, the Kings are nice, pat them on the head, but boy, the Warriors are the team tonight.
I think so, and I don't think a lot of people expect Sacramento to win. Like, I think they'll win tonight, but I think anybody outside of the organization in this city thinks it's Warriors all day, especially because of the injuries. And this is something we talked about yesterday. If you're Sacramento and if I'm Mike Brown, you know, his mantra is let it fly. Well, tonight is the true let it fly kind of game. Like, there's nothing to hold back with. You know, you got to go out there, be ready, be excited, and, you know, have your best game out mm-hmm. there. And so I think the pressure really is on the Warriors when you think about it, mm-hmm. though, because there's so many question marks about Draymond's future, Klay's future. You're the dynasty. You're the four-time champs. And so I feel like they have the pressure coming into this building.
You know how it is, though, in any big game at any level. It changes. You know, one team or the other gets off to a great start. All of a sudden, there's a huge amount of pressure on the other team. Mm-hmm. Then that team makes a run, and then it shifts during the game. Momentum and who's feeling the heat, it shifts many times during the course of the game.
It does. And what we've seen from the Kings, they have to remember, just because you're up 10, 12, 14 in the first, it's a 48-minute game. And so there's going to be ebbs and flows in this game. And you've covered the Warriors for a number of years. The narrative with the Warriors is –
we've apparently lost audio. I'm going to.
What do you want to say?
In case we haven't, I will continue. I'm sorry, Nate.
We're back.
Online. Okay, let's go.
Our apologies. We had some.
Y'all missed all those curse words that issues. Whitey just said. All them expletives.
It's like seven.
Darn.
It wasn't that many. So let me know if we're going to talk to Brendan, please, if anyone knows if we're going to talk to Brendan. We're good. All right.
I'm here, gentlemen.
Our apologies to you, Brendan. Listen, I wanted to ask you, I know. Right when the last game ended and we're going down to the interview room, you were excited about this matchup. A lot of people are not so excited. Why do you, from the Kings' perspective, embrace this matchup against the Warriors tonight?
I mean, I think, first of all, they should want to get some payback. There's nobody that the Kings should be scared of, I think, in this play-in scenario, really. And, you know, I don't think that they deserve to be favored, just given the injuries, really, Malik Monk, Kevin Huerter not being there, is going to make them a fairly different team, and maybe some of that could work in their favor. But overall, I think mainly for me, I'm just excited for some single elimination basketball. These two teams that have history, know each other really well. I lean towards the Warriors, again, just for those health concerns that the Kings are dealing with, but anything can happen in one game, and that's exciting to me, guys. I'm looking forward to just witnessing this.
I tell you what, Brendan. You're my guy. I admire your work. And if you were just Joe Schmo to call her, I'd tell Jay to cut you. Because what are you talking about? You're leaning to Warriors, bro. What do you, I mean, like, that's not what we bring you on for, like, that kind of messaging, you know? I need to find out, how can our boys, the Kings, win tonight? What's it going to take?
That's fair. I got you, Drake. I got a couple contingencies. If X happens, they get a win, you know? And I'm going with, I think if Davion and Keon can knock down some threes, I think that they are going to get dared to shoot tonight, that they're going to have to prove it. Keon, obviously, being in his first real postseason, I think even the 41% he shot all year long, I think the Warriors are going to kind of make him prove it. And I think there's a chance that, you know, if the Warriors are going to try to run some of these two big lineups, that do they put Draymond on Davion, or do they try to put one of their bigs on him and force him to shoot? So If those guys can combine for 6+ triples, I'm going to call it a win.
Ooh, six.
My other is Warriors, as long as they've been an elite team, and it's still true to this day, turnovers have been one of their Achilles heels. And I think scoring off of those turnovers, finding ways to convert would be really big. You can't have less turnovers than the Warriors, and they score more points off it because they're getting transition threes. So either Keon Davion combined for 6+ threes or 20 points off turnovers for the Kings, and I'll call it a win.
Yeah, I think that's a huge key. Yeah. I know the three-point shooting appear to looms larger, but the Warriors, they get really – as long as Steve Kerr's been there, they get really sloppy with the ball at times. And I think – Brendan, you may know this. When the Kings won there in January in the Harrison Barnes game, I think they ended up converting like 20 Warrior turnovers into 26 points. Mm. It was an absolute key. So, yeah, that could be a key to victory for the Kings tonight if they're to find a way. Brendan, this is kind of one of those, you know, media day questions, but which King do you think has the most to prove tonight?
I mean, I guess the Warriors probably have more to lose. You know, the Kings have more built-in, I guess, excuses or understandable. They're not favored here, and I think that that's fair. So I would guess the Warriors, just even with Klay Thompson's looming free agency, I know you guys just had on said that he feels all right about him sticking around, but that's TBD. I guess I lean towards the Warriors just because I think the Kings could write it off as, you know, we were without Malik Monk, we were without Kevin Huerter. Now, I don't think they would want to do that or any of the guys would ever come out and say that after the game, but I think it's a little bit more excusable, I guess, from Sacramento's standpoint if they were to drop this one. But, guys, that 39-point game that Harrison Barnes had, I know that's a season high, that's an outlier, but I think that's a good representation of anything can happen in one game. Drapes, I always go back to Kelly Olynyk dropping 27 on the Wizards in Game 7. Anything can happen. I'm telling you, man, Celtics were my thing growing up. Or Grant Williams, how many threes did he shoot against the Bucks in Game 7? You know, crazy things happen in single elimination games.
This guy pulling out Celtics history on me. You're not supposed to be doing that, Brendan. I was there. I lived through it all. But, you know, here's the thing, though, because as I look at tonight, I'm trying to figure out, can the Kings outscore the Warriors? Meaning, can the Kings win a shootout? Or if the Kings are going to win, it's going to be have to be a dirty, ugly, nasty kind of game. Like, which way do you think is advantageous for the Sacramento Kings?
I mean, they still have nights, even without Malik Monk. I know that they've been more of a defensive team. The offense has kind of struggled. Kevin Huerter as well. But there's still nights where guys can catch fire from three. You know, De'Aaron Fox shot 9 threes a game in the postseason series between these teams last year. He's a better three-point shooter now than he was last year. You know, I think that he could get him up. Keegan can always catch fire. Harrison, I mentioned Davion and Keon. They can keep up on the right night, but I do think that you're going to have to limit the Warriors a little bit. And I think that one of the ways you try to maybe lean into that keeping up is I probably would assume Trey Lyles at the backup five. You know, we got Alex Len for the first 5 games of that postseason series, and then he only played 30 seconds in Game 6, 2.5 minutes in Game 7. I would probably lean towards Trey Lyles, and you try to be a little bit more offensive with that second unit. But it is going to take slowing the Warriors down. You know, if you have to score 130 in order to keep up, it's probably a tough formula for Sacramento.
Brendan, I think you're right. You have Trey Lyles going for, let's see, at least 19 tonight. Harrison Barnes scores, you know, 42, and the Warriors turn the ball over 37 times. So the Kings win.
Exactly what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. Who do you think they will end up playing? Who do you think wins the first game tonight?
I think the Lakers. I know that's the common take. It's hard to shake what the Lakers just did to New Orleans. Kind of feels similar about that Phoenix and Minnesota matchup, but just in the last regular season game, really taking care of business it's hard to scrap that for me. And Brandon Ingram coming back, still looking like he's kind of trying to get into a rhythm, which can always be a tough scenario in some of these really, really big games, especially single elimination again. So I lean towards the Lakers taking it. And I know a lot of Kings fans don't like that potential idea of New Orleans being the next team the Kings could have to see if they were to take care of business against Golden State tonight. But I'm more scared of LeBron James than the fact that they lost 5 games to the Pelicans personally.
No, I'm with you. Brendan Nunes joining us, our Sactown Sports Kings insider. Brendan, as we look at this Kings season, what would constitute, I guess, a disappointment? Losing tonight or losing on Friday? Or, like, where are we at in terms of, you know, acceptance of what this Kings season is?
I mean, if they got smacked today, it'd be pretty tough. But I don't know that I could label it. A disappointment is fine. Failure would be harsh. Just with these injuries, man, I think it's hard to have high expectations since Malik and Kevin went down. And they've done what they can to, you know, kind of change up their style, lean into the defense more. And there have been good things to come from this season that I still can find some optimism in, you know, that when this team was going to take their next jump is wherever they go and make a trade. And I think there's been enough internal improvement, again, Keon or little flashes of Kobe or De'Aaron's three-point shooting, Keegan's defense, all these little things that I think will be beneficial still going into next year that still make me – that's how I can paint this season in an optimistic light. You know, it feels like a gap year of sorts, and I get that. But I think there have been a lot of internal development that's important. And while postseason production is probably going to be the story of the season when we look back on it in a couple years, it's hard to put a definitive, you know, positive season, negative season based on what they do in these games when there's no Malik or Kevin out there, I feel like.
Well, whatever happens, make sure you check out Brendan's outstanding coverage. Brendan and Frankie are Kings insiders, SactownSports.com. Brendan, thanks very much. We appreciate it. We'll see you out here in a little bit.
No problem. And I'll, you know, maybe I'm joining you guys from OKC next week.
There you go.
I like that. Finally, some positivity. I like that. Thank you,
Brendan. Before we go to break real quick, Drapes, you got anything that you could tell us here quickly about, you know, Jordy? Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about him, but any idea who replaces Jordy or in what way the Kings are going to miss him? Kings are going to miss him the most.
No, I think Luke Laux probably moves up. You know, Luke has done a fantastic job, came from the Warriors organization, so has some pedigree as well, worked closely with De'Aaron Fox, and we've seen the improvements Fox has made over, you know, in his game. I think, you know, and this is something I mentioned the other day, you know, when you look at the Kings coaching staff, whether it's, you know, Jay Triano, now Jordy Fernandez, Luke Laux, like they have, you know, some guys with head coaching potential on this team.
Not just guys.
Yeah. And girl, like Lindsey Harding, we talked about as well, you know, and then, you know, Bobby Jackson last year. And so, you know, excited for Jordy. He's going to be missed, but I think Luke is probably that next guy up.
All right. Thank you. If you're looking for a key to a Kings win tonight, we have found it. We have it for you next year to drive guys from just outside the Golden One. We're at Tahoe Blue Ridge, getting ready for the Warriors and the Kings on Sactown. Drive guys coming to you from just outside the Golden One Center. The Kings and the Warriors. Ah, them again. We're at the Tahoe Blue Ridge. Come on by if you get a chance before the game. Say hi. Kyle Draper wants you to come by and say hi.
Say what's up.
Yeah, a lot of luminaries here. A lot of really important people, but some of them are busy. So instead, we have joining us.
Ouch.
Man, you cold blood, bro. Why you doing him like that, man?
I'm kidding. He's my guy. Matt George.
ABC. Oh, this is your first guy of the drive guys.
Oh, now he's
his guy.
Before we get Matt on, let's just say Matt's been hanging out here for about an hour. He looked like a lost puppy over there. So we said, all right, let's bring him on. Let's get him on the show. He's just been hanging out, you know. So I was like, all right, come on, Matt.
Happy to talk to you on this this glorious day. Of course, Matt also Locked On Kings podcast host.
Yes.
So you've been following the Kings for how many years now?
I grew up a diehard fan of this team, right? So, since I was a kid, the late 90s, early 2000s, that's what I grew up with, spoiled with Kings basketball, and to ride the wave of that 16-year playoff drought to get where we're at. Last year was what it was. This year, in some ways, a repeat with the Warriors again, which is a matchup, to be honest with you, I wanted absolutely nothing to do.
I'm with you.
And I think the Kings and the Warriors probably might feel the same way. This game feels like such a coin flip. But, guys, the first time for me on this station since I used to work here.
So really?
It's really a really cool treat for me. So thanks, guys, for having me.
Were you blacklisted or something or what?
I didn't wander enough around.
Right.
All I had to do was loiter. I just loitered. for a little bit. You guys let me back on, so I just loitered.
What do you think about tonight, man? What are our chances tonight? A severely shorthanded, we understand that. Do we have a puncher's chance?
Well, absolutely, I think they do. And it feels like I'm in a twilight zone in so many ways, because for the first time in a long time, maybe the first time ever since Doug Christie was playing for the Kings, I trust the defense more than I trust the offense at this point. And I think a defensive game plays in favor of Sacramento tonight, which is wild to me, because coming into last season, this is something I actually want to ask Mike Brown about before the game tonight. Coming into the playoffs against the Warriors last year was, okay, physicality. Playoffs is a different beast, right? How are the Kings going to fare in a physical playoff series against the defending champions? Now, this year, it's, oh, no, the Kings love to play physical. They've been playing physical for months. Davion Mitchell says this team's having fun playing physical. Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting kind of a physical, scrappy basketball game. We know Draymond and company, they don't mind playing that way as well. Honestly, if the lower scoring this game is, not that I want an 80-90 Memphis Grizzlies game of old, but the lower scoring this game is, I think the more it plays in favor of Sacramento. I'd be more concerned about a 120-125 shootout, because at that point, I feel like the Kings are trying to keep up with Steph.
Right.
We saw Game 7, Steph, how that went. So,
Yes. Matt George with us. You know Matt George from ABC 10. You may remember him from the station, as most of us certainly do. You may know his podcast. But if you've ever heard the post-game Mike Brown interviews and interviews with players, you've heard Matt, because he asks a lot of questions. And I wanted to ask you, there's a story here. You always refer to Fox as Fox. What's the deal with you when you talk to De'Aaron Fox? You say, Fox, so what about this?
What's funny is Fox was such a negative name in the history of Sacramento and for the Kings
for
a long time. Yeah. So I have full leaned heavily into Fox being the savior of Sacramento to where, no, it's a good name now.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I've always, one of the things I was told when interacting with coaches as I've grown up in the media is don't call him coach. I always thought that was a term of like respect or So I always say, hey coach, but hey, they're not your coach. Call him by their first name. So a big adjustment for me was Mike, calling him Mike. Right. And that's something that I never did with Coach Yeager. I never did with Luke Walton, but with Mike, I was like, okay, I'm going to try and be on a first name basis. With Fox, I always thought how the players call him. Like, I would never call Fox Foxy, like Mike Brown does. I think Darren would literally kick me out of the arena if I had that. But I don't know. It's just a comfort thing. And Fox and I have had some interactions.
I get the impression, they've been hanging out or something. If he's calling him Fox.
My favorite conversation I've ever had with De'Aaron Fox was about video games. But this was early in his time here in Sacramento. I've also gotten called out by Mr. De'Aaron Fox on social media a number of times as well, which to me is a term of endearment by that guy. So, I mean, it's all a place of respect.
Let me ask you this, Matt. You're my guy. And this is how I set people up. I set people up.
You're my guy. You were wandering around.
But sometimes, man, you're kind of negative after games,
what are you
man.
You're
kind of angry and pissed off.
But
that's different. That's different, man.
What are you talking about?
That's a tough one.
My stuff is like instant reaction. I feel like you carry yours into the next day and everything. Where's that coming from, man? Where's that coming from?
Well, it comes from a place I've been very honest about this season, Draper. And I said this coming into this year. Now I'm in unfamiliar territory. Right. And I think Kings fans entered unfamiliar territory because for the first year, there were playoff expectations after a playoff year.
Right.
Last year was so vibes.
Yep.
It was just no matter what was happening, it's like, hey, enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. And this year was like, okay, there's expectations in place. And I tried to hold the Kings to the expectations and the standards that they clearly set for themselves at the start of this year.
Okay.
Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox on media day, both by themselves, without being asked, bringing up championship, winning a championship, competing for a championship, which to some extent, you know, every team talks about winning a championship at the beginning of the year. So you have to kind of take that tongue in cheek. But Mike and De'Aaron generally believe that's what they're building towards. So that was always kind of my focus. A thing that I've harped on a lot this year, and I'm still on it because I feel like we haven't gotten resolution on it, is the emphasis on the defensive end and growth and defense. Statistically, we've seen it pay off.
Yes.
The Kings are playing the best defense they've played in decades right now. But how much of the offense are you willing to sacrifice for that defense? Mike has said, look, I don't have any interest in being a 120-point-per-game team that flames out in the first or second round of the playoffs every year. I completely understand that. My thing that I've been most negative on, Draper, all year long is offense is still what's supposed to be the reliable strength, the reliable talent of this Kings team. It's supposed to be their identity. Mm-hmm. And I just don't feel like it's been consistent enough for me to feel confident in it at this point.
So do you think because of the emphasis on defense, that's why we've seen do you think those two go hand in hand?
Yes and no. I think it's ultimately a personnel issue. I think the decision to run it back made sense. And I think from a 10,000 feet up view, what we're going to look at this season was, and this is kind of a harsh way to put it, I haven't found a better way to articulate it, it's kind of a separating the boys from the men type year. And what I mean by that is Monty, Mike, they now have two seasons plus a little bit at least of a postseason of context. Now they know which guys they're going to roll with going forward and which guys, like, you know what, we love this player, we love that player, we're thankful for what they do, but in order to win, we need to upgrade that position, or we need depth in that area. That's what I feel like this year has been about. So I think with the emphasis on the defense, that means more playing time for Keon. They figured out, one of the things I love that Mike has done is these three guard lineups that he's figured out and staggering Keon and Davion. Because for so long, it was one or the other, right? It was either Keon or Davion. Now you're getting both of them, and they're shooting well and playing defense at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but as more defensive guys are starting to play, some of the offensive guys have kind of dropped off. Kevin Huerter has had a super inconsistent season. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now. The Kings could absolutely use him tonight. But he's had kind of an up-and-down inconsistent season, which is, I think, embodies the offense this year. It's been so up and down, not just by game, by freaking quarter. I mean, during the road trip, you had a first half in New York and then a first half in, what was the other game?
Boston?
In Boston, whatever.
OKC.
First half, you're shooting lights out. Second half, 20%. It's just, it's wild the roller coaster that this team is on offense, and the defense seems more steady.
Drape, see what happens. You have the guys on TV. They only have a little bit of time to talk. You put them on the radio, man.
Right? He's he's used to that 2-minute segment here. You can let it breathe. You can. But he got the podcast too.
I know.
So
I'm kidding him.
Words out.
I told you, he's my guy.
You have a key. You can't steal to my guy thing. That's my stick now. Calm down, Whitey. You used that twice today.
I don't know if I want to. I've been called a loiterer, and
I know, right?
Is it all about the threes tonight? Is there a key? See, I think the rebounding and possessions, other than the obvious thing, the threes, I think it could come down to the rebounding and possessions. Do you see a key to victory for the Kings tonight?
I like rebounding and possessions because I think they're branches of the same tree. And that tree, to me, is Domantas Sabonis. About this game. In so many ways, like, we might not have wanted this matchup. If I'm Domantas Sabonis, the competitor in me probably wants this because he's dealt all season long.
For
Drake,
sure.
You know this. All season long, he's dealt with people judging his accomplishments this season based off of one playoff
series.
Based
on one
series,
last year,
which made no sense. Hey, look at the triple doubles he's putting up, leading the league in double doubles, leading the league. What can he do in the playoffs? look what he did against Kevon Looney. That doesn't matter to the context of this season, but that's what everybody talked about. So here's Domas's opportunity. It's one game versus a playoff series, but it's one game on your home floor. You're going to face the same thing. I think the Warriors are going to do the exact same thing to Domas and dare him to beat him. So go out there and beat him. I think Domas sets the tone. It's not all on him tonight. Fox has to play big. I think Keegan Murray has to hit shots for sure tonight. And they need a little bit out of Harrison, a little bit out of Trey, a little bit out of everybody. But I think if Domantas Sabonis plays to the level of what we know Sabonis to be, Kings have a great chance.
By the way, great answer there. And you held your train of thought, even though Drapes was like doing a Doug Christie or something.
I'm used to dealing with celebrities. I work with Kevin John. He's like waving.
Man of the people.
I'll talk to Whitey and the plant over there.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks very much
for coming by. It's going to be a special, special night when we come right back to the Tahoe Blue Ridge. If you're a fan of the three, then this is the game for thee with the Drive Guys next on Sacktown Sports.